I've got some of my friends that are here tonight, some of our team that's here tonight. We've got just a mixture of many, many expressions of Christ in the earth. When you start talking about real estate, I believe that God cares that you have a house, that you have a place to stay, that you have shelter, that you have raiment. We were talking about that earlier. How many of you enjoyed the pre-show? Did you enjoy the pre-show? We don't normally do a pre-show on Wednesday night, but we knowed you was coming. Yeah, we knowed you was coming, and we tried to bake you a cake. And we did a pre-show, and it was wonderful. We're going to go a little bit deeper. I am blessed tonight to have Reverend Kari J. Bridgewater, who is a minister, an educator, a business leader. He is a principal at Crowe, one of the top 10 largest accounting networks in the world, where he leads Crowe Beacon, a select suite of service for high-growth businesses. We got a preacher leading a high-growth business corporation. I said your gift will make room for you and set you before great men. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? The goal of the practice is to strengthen underserved businesses with accounting, management, and technology. Kari has also served as chairman and CEO of Northdale Capital Growth and program officer, would you come, at the DeVos Family Foundation, where he served as programs for congregations in West Michigan. He launched the Urban Church Leadership Center located at Cornerstone University, where he served as adjunct professor and board member of our Daily Bread Ministries. Kari founded the Inspire Equity Foundation, and it goes on and on and on. He's done so many great things. Can you give him a warm Potter's House welcome? From right here at the Potter's House, we have been invited to the stage Tiffany Brinkley. You don't often see her on the stage, but she makes it happen up in this place. She is the director of United Megacare. She is a native of Dallas, Texas, married with two wonderful children. She is a graduate of the illustrious Clark Atlanta University with a Bachelor of Science degree in political science and a pre-law concentration. For the past 7 years, we have had the privilege of having Tiffany work for the Potter's House. Come on. Fort Worth as Director of Community Outreach and transition to United Megacare as the new, and let me tell you, United Megacare goes everywhere. They do disaster relief in foreign countries, and she's gonna tell you more about it, and she has headed that up, and I tell you something, she could, if you want to see your money grow, give it to a woman. She can take a dime and stretch it into $100. I don't know how she does it. Tiffany's 20 years of experience has afforded her the opportunity to work for other nonprofits, corporate America, government, and faith-based organizations. She enjoys being a basketball mom, mentoring youth, and volunteering with Alpha Kappa, Kappa Alpha Sorority. You're going to get me in trouble. All the Deltas got an attitude over that right now. Say amen for Tiffany. You may be seated. We're glad to have you. He is the national co-chair for GSA Acquisitions Policy Committee and author. Cassius F. Butts has worked alongside domestic and international heads of state, presidents, and CEOs for the past 30 years. He founded Capital Fortitude Business Advisors consulting firm and currently serves as the chief strategy officer and managing partner with Global Leader Group based in Salt Lake City with offices in Atlanta, Georgia. Cassius was appointed as the national co-chair of the General Services Administration Policy Acquisition Committee and served on the Biden-Harris Agency Transition Team. Governor Brian Kemp appointed Cassius to serve on the Georgia Economic Development Board, and he is the chairman of the Fort McPherson Local Redevelopment Agency. Would you welcome my friend and brother, Cassius F. Butts? A very familiar face is about to come to the stage. Dr. Natasha Gresham is the director of the Center of Counseling and Behavioral Health at the Potter's House of Dallas, working closely with myself with over 25 years of experience. She is a renowned inspirational speaker, advisor, executive life coach, touching lives through television, social media, conferences, and individual consultations, driven by passion, transparency, and authenticity. Natasha has successfully worked with celebrities, athletes, politicians, faith-based organizations, and prestigious universities. Her outstanding credentials include multiple credentialing, recognized as a Presidential Volunteer of the Year in 2019, and honored at the United Nations. Natasha is committed to sharing her knowledge about inner healing, hope, and new beginnings. In her spare time, she enjoys traveling, reading, and embracing new adventures. Would you make her feel welcome, even though she's at home? Just for the benefit of putting this in context, and I want you to write this down, ministry takes on many forms. Ministry takes on many forms. Historically, we have alienated a lot of people in church because they couldn't sing or preach or do the recognizable gifts. We have not noticed the fact that in the Bible, when it lifts down gifts, it also talks about the gift of administration. There's the gift of helps. There's the gift of giving. There's a lot of things that God cares about that we don't talk about in church. So to contextualize our conversation that we're going to have tonight, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 4, verse 13 through 21. And there you will find Jesus pointing out in his first address in the synagogue, after that he was tempted in the wilderness, the things that matter most to him. Now, normally when we're in the Potter's House and we read a text, we stand for the reading of the word. So let's act normal. Even though this is an unusually big Bible class for Wednesday night, we're going to act normal. And you online, you don't have to stand unless you want to, because I can't see you anyway. And so we're reading out of the Amplified version of the Bible, so you will see inserts added into the text to give clarity and possible opening of ideas throughout the text. And when the devil had ended every temptation, the complete cycle of every temptation, he temporarily left him, meaning Jesus, that he had stood afar off from him until another more opportune and favorable time. Lord have mercy. Isn't that how it is? The devil don't never say goodbye. He just say so long. I'll be back later. Then Jesus went back full and under the power of the Holy Spirit into Galilee. And the fame of him spread through the whole region round about. Without him even trying, the word about his effectiveness spread throughout Galilee. I believe that for you. Without you even trying, the word is going to get out. I believe in marketing, because the Bible says that men don't light a candle and hide it under a bushel, but put it out for all men to see. But you're not going to have to stress out about it, because the people who are blessed because of you and blessed because of your creativity are going to be your marketing agents and spread abroad what you do, who you are, and what you bring to the table. And I want you to think about this question: who do we get when we get you? Who do we get when we get you? Whether that's personally, professionally, spiritually, when you come to the table, what just sat down at the table? And he himself conducted, of course, a course of teaching in their synagogues, being recognized and honored and praised by all. Now, we have not seen Jesus in the temple in scripture since he was 12 years old. This is after he has been baptized of John, been tempted in the wilderness, and he shows up in the synagogue. And this is the story that is narrated to us as Luke brings to us what happened in the room. Would you have liked to have been in the room with Jesus? How many people would like to be in the room with Jesus? Guess what you are? So he came to Nazareth, that Nazareth where he had been brought up. And Lord knows ain't no place harder to go to than where you grew up. Because a prophet is without honor in his own country. You know, I knew you when. I know your mama. Don't come in here acting like you so much. And Jesus started where he had been brought up. And he entered into the synagogue, and as was his custom on the Sabbath day. So this isn't a one-off. It was his custom to engage them on the Sabbath day. Only this time, he stood up to read. And there was handed to him the roll of the book, because at that time, books were not bound. Books were not bound. They were scrolls. And he had to unroll it. The book of the prophet Isaiah, he opened or unrolled the book and found the place where it was written. So what he is quoting from is Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel. This is what Jesus cares about, the gospel to the poor. If you don't care about economic equity, you don't care about what Jesus cares about. One of the top things on his list was equity. He has sent me to announce release to the captives. So he doesn't want you to be bound by things, by drugs, by people, by the need for affirmation, for the need for validation. He said he has sent me to announce the release of the captive. Somebody shout, release. And the recovery of sight to the blind. He wants you to have a vision. Oh my. How many women in here have a vision? How many brothers in here have a vision? Make some noise. To send forth as delivered. He said, I want to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed. So God cares about people who are pressed down, who are downtrodden, who are bruised, who are crushed and broken down by calamity. To proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord. I'm claiming this as the acceptable year of the Lord for your release. So if you're watching online saying, this is the acceptable year for me to be free in every area of my life, to get my vision back, to get my emotions intact, and to see my finances rise up with me. Oh, you ought to be shouting me down right now. The day when salvation and free favors of God profusely abound, that is Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. Then he rolled up the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were gazing attentively at him. They were staring at him. It's all right for people to stare at you. When you got it, you just got it. And he began to speak to them. Today, somebody say today, this scripture has been fulfilled while you are present and hearing. Woo! Father, bless our conversation tonight. We thank you for the gifts that are on stage and the price they paid to be who they are. And as we engage in this conversation, let us see ourselves and hear ourselves and understand ourselves in new dimensions and idioms of thought as we embrace the opportunities that has afforded us to be in the room where it happens. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen, amen, and amen. You may be seated. Chill out. Take your shoes off. I forgot Pastor Michael Phillips, Jesus. Come on, Pastor, I'm sorry. Come on, give it up. I don't know how I forgot my own. Come on. He is the chief operation officer for T.D. Jakes Enterprise. They didn't give me no card. Yeah. They know I only read what they tell me to read. Give it up for Pastor Michael Phillips. Come on. You know who he is. If you've ever watched us, you've seen him minister. You've seen him preach, but you don't know how he leads and how he directs our enterprise initiatives and oversees our films, our books, all of our ultimate real estate endeavors, and particularly a focus on entrepreneurs. Any entrepreneurs in the house? Do you know how your business is about to be blessed? Oh, y'all don't know. Let me talk to these people. Do you know how your business is about to be blessed? Do you have any idea how your business is about to be blessed? How in the world can you be blessed and your business not be blessed? So I want you to take some notes, whether they're in your phone or in your laptop, because you got the privilege. The wealth of knowledge that's on this stage is incomparable to anything that you have ever seen before. And so I want you to take advantage of this opportunity as we begin to have a discussion that I think is very important. I'm going to start with Reverend Corey Bridgewater. When we start talking, since we're talking about business, what do you see as the most often seen impediments that stop us from being successful in business? And why do you as a clergyman even care to be bothered with what you are fighting for today?
The biggest impediment, Bishop, is fear. That I see over and over again, people are afraid to trust their own insight and instincts. But I also see them afraid to do the work that it takes to understand what it takes to get the capital flowing for their business. So that they do the thing that's easy, they do the thing that's enjoyable, but they're afraid to do the thing that's hard. So I see that a lot. I also see that why I do this, you know, why I do what I do is because I see serving businesses as loving people, right? So we look at visiting the sick, we look at feeding the hungry, but what does it mean to actually help someone build the resources so they never become hungry? And so that's why I do what I do.
You know, it's so funny because when I was meditating today, I was over in the book of James. And in the book of James, he was talking fervently and ferociously about validating our faith by our works. And you started talking about doing the work. And I would suggest to you that sometimes we love the craft, but we don't even know what the work is that is necessary to be successful. So we have an idea, and there are people in here with great vision and great ideas, and they're ready to do the work, but they don't really even understand what the work is, the research that's involved, the opportunities, the prerequisites that are necessary to do what they need to do to be ultimately successful. So they drive past business and go to hustle. And they keep hustling faster and faster and faster, making cupcakes or doing tax returns or whatever it is that they do. And they're doing, but they're not being, or thinking. And so, especially with inflation, now the hamster is having to run faster than he's ever had to, than she's ever had to run before to make half as much. When you say do the work, let's get down to the recipe of what do we need to be doing to bring our businesses and our vision up to scale.
So we have to operate on multiple levels, Bishop. The first piece is that just because you sell something doesn't mean you actually have a business. And also, the purpose of business is not to sell. The purpose of the business is to build wealth. And so when you don't understand the principles of wealth, you don't design your business to be profitable. And so what ends up happening, and part of it is we're so loving. I had a restaurant, so I love selling fried chicken. And we had good fried chicken, right?
All right.
Honey dusted fried
chicken. All right, for the fried chicken.
But we didn't know how to make money.
Right.
And so if you don't make money off your business, you're just having fun. And so part of it is doing the hard work to understand finances, understand cash flow, understand how capital works. And so that's the first thing. Take an accounting class, says the accountant. understand how your cash flows, right? And understand how you're connected to a broader system. Many of the reasons that we didn't get PPP loans and we didn't get some of the other things that we've talked about is because we weren't ready to have financial records that we can present to the federal government. And so if you need to grow a business, I know we talk about don't get loans, but no one builds a company without some sort of debt and some sort of equity investment. And you can't get that if you, think about it this way. Your house has electricity and water that comes to it, right? But the electrical company and the water company will not give you electricity or water if your house is not up to code. Yet we have businesses that are not up to code when it comes to capital. And so therefore, no underwriter will give you a loan and no investor will give you an investment unless you get your house in order. And so that's the financial hygiene. That's getting your books in order. That's getting the hard part working properly for someone to actually give you resources. That's what I mean by the hard work.
So that is the hard work, and I would say that's only part of the hard work. Sometimes we don't market our business. Sometimes we don't manage our business. Sometimes we don't understand that you are no better than the people you put around you. And so what you, instead of having a business, you left your job to work for you, and now you just have a job. And you call it a business, but it's really a job. And so you're so busy doing it that you're not running it. If you can't step away from it 2 months from doing it and it be sustainable, it's not a business, it's a job. And so all you did was hire you. And about 94% of particularly African American, I just happened to know those figures because I came in this chocolate was the flavor. I didn't pick, it's nice, I like it, but 94% of African American businesses have less than 2 employees. So if you're playing ball and you don't have anybody to pass to, you're exhausted. And the reason we don't have anybody to pass to is because our books are not together and we say we can't afford to, and you can't afford not to, because if you don't really scale your business, then your business is running you and you're not running it. So when the Bible talks about setting the captive free, that's not just hallelujah, glory to God, thank you, Jesus. Because you can hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, glory to God, and be exhausted and be worn out and be at your wit's end and go home smelling like chicken every day and not see a return on your income and still can't send your kids to college, to the college of your choice, without more debt. And God wants to set at liberty those that are economically bound. You've talked a little bit about the problem. Tell me a little bit about the solution. What do you propose as solutions for startups? Because I'm not an accountant. I have one. I have 3. But I have 3 and 20 under them. But I couldn't. If they all left, I'd do a glory to God. Don't leave me. Don't leave me. Okay. I need them, because you have to understand what he is saying is, you need the language of banking to prosper in the pursuit of wealth. So you can't talk chicken in a bank meeting. Amen. Or tongues. So help us out, because we've done a lot of think tanks about the problems. What are the solutions?
So first, you can't solve this on your own. We're dealing with a historic context here, right? So we don't know enough about finance as a community because we've been denied access to finance as a community. And so part of the conversation is learn yourself, but also understand that there's a whole invisible system that brings capital to your neighborhood, brings capital to your communities, and you need to work together to demand better services. It's sort of like you have a house, but the pipes don't work to get it to your house. And the only way you can do that is come together and have conversations with the lenders, the investors in your community, so that you actually demand better services. So part of that is a collective decision that we're all going to get our finances together. Also, stop trying to do it yourself. Hire somebody who actually knows what they're doing, like Bishop said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Write this down. Conversations are important. Conversations are important. If you're running around with people who are talking about people, you're in the wrong crowd. I have had the privilege of being in the room with very, very successful people, and none of them gossip. Only broke people are interested in other people's business. Blessed people are so busy trying to run their business that they don't have time to irrigate their thought process with other people's business. That is the hobby of the disenfranchised. So you want to be in conversations where you have to Google. Uh-oh, I'm getting ready to take you out of your comfort zone. I want to put you in rooms where you're having to learn languages. Conversations also includes starting to read things other than novels, love novels. And he came to her through the wind. And he drove until his car ran out of gas, and still he walked with nothing but her on his mind. That isn't gonna pay no bills at all, none at all, none at all. Magazines, reading, newsletters, anything about anything that starts out slow reading but becomes a part of your language, which makes you understand what to want. And if I understand my brother correctly, he's trying to tell you that everything isn't cut and dried, that there's only one way to access capital for your business. There are multiple ways to access capital for your business. There are CDFIs, there are minority-owned institutions that create capital wealth. There are multiple ways to increase passive and aggressive streams of income. You don't have to just keep running on a hamster. There are multiple ways to get property and own real estate and have a multiple dwelling place and have your renters pay the mortgage and create your income. There are multiple ways for you to break out of this, but you gotta start talking. You can't keep crying. You gotta start having conversations. And if you're not around people who are conversing like that, you're not around the right people. Another thing, and I'm coming to you in a minute because it's a natural transition. Another thing is have the conversations in front of your family. Because one of the problems, the difference between rich dads, poor dads, haves and have-nots, is that they talk about stuff that poor people don't talk about money because they don't have none. They don't understand if you don't talk about it, you're never going to have any. So you demonize it. And church people are good at demonizing. There are two things that church people want, but they never talk about, but they're really interested in. One of them is sex, and the other one's money. Yeah, they don't want to talk about neither one of them, but they're secretly interested in both of them. So when we don't talk about, no, come on. He didn't say it, I did, write me. So when you don't talk about it, you know what happens? When we invite you to prayer, you want prayer that you can get a house. You're believing God for a car. You don't have to believe God for a car. If you got a 700 credit card, you just go down and get a car. Believe God for something God-like, like a kidney. Believe God for a liver. Believe God to part the Red Sea. Don't believe God for a car. Drug dealers have cars. Atheists have cars. Agnostics have cars. We have made miracles out of things that just require discipline. And it's because we are never in the room where conversations are had about things that matter to us. And we don't grow up in a home where money is discussed, where investments are discussed, where whole life insurance is discussed. That's why a huge percentage of people who die in our church don't even have life insurance. That's why we're raising offerings, because preachers have more shoes than they have policies. That's why all your friends are calling you to pitch in to help pay for stuff that we should have been thoughtful about. And so we had bling, but we didn't have increase. And God wants you to have increase. Can we settle on that? God wants you to have increase. While we're talking about business, before we get to some other stuff, this is a good opportunity for you to talk about good soil.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bishop. Good soil. Some good soul folk out there got some good soul members. That's what I'm talking about. Good soil is the place where entrepreneurs come to evolve. It is the place where small business owners come to have their business grown and impacted and scaled. And what we have done is put your business pretty much in the middle of an ecosystem that gives you a lot of the support that Kyrie was talking about. And so if you can picture your business being in the middle of a page, and on the top of that page, you have a financial partner, and to the side, you have a capacity building partner, somebody's who's gonna help you learn and understand what cash flow means, what are your assets and liabilities, how do you have a forecast for your burn rate and your churn rate for your customers. All those terminologies and new language that Bishop is talking about, we put you right in the center of that and then link you up with those capacity building partners to walk you through that process of growing your business. Obviously, there's the peer-to-peer network, and I'm gonna put all this in context in a second. There's the peer-to-peer network where you can learn and grow with other entrepreneurs that are on their entrepreneurial journey, and that you guys can glean from each other better efficiencies, new ways of doing business, new ways of networking, so forth and so on. And then last but not least, you're gonna need legal support. You're gonna need accounting support. And we put all of that within your ecosystem and put you right in the smack dab middle of it, so that you can have connectivity for growth for your business. So, let me put it in context for you. There's nothing wrong with your idea. There might be something wrong with your environment that your idea is birthed in. If you wanted to grow oranges, okay, and you had the best Florida orange seed, and you went and planted it in Antarctica, guess what? It's not gonna grow. If you had wanted a vineyard or something, but you're gonna put your vineyard in Houston, the humidity alone will not allow such a thing to take place. Great idea, wrong environment. Here's the good news. There's still life in the seed. You just have to move it to the right environment. That's what good soil is. Then when you get your idea, your business in the right environment, you're gonna hook up those ideas, watch me now, to influence organizations and partners that we have curated that's gonna help you intentionally grow your business. And when ideas hang around with influence, income is always the end result.
That's some really good stuff. You all got me fired up here. That's very, very exciting. And it's important that you understand, most of the business people that I encounter in so many communities don't really have a real good ROI. They don't have real good return on investment, because we pay so much for manufacturing and distribution, because we don't really do business like business. We are getting our supply from people who are getting their supply from people. And the more middle people you have in between you and retail, everybody, if I pass a cookie down the row here and everybody takes a bite, by the time it gets to Kyrie, he's standing there with a crumb. Okay, so all the people from the creation of the product to the distribution of the product to the wholesaler of the product to the person who makes it available in the magazine to the person who buys retail, all these people got paid. Why not go right here and cut out the middleman and drive down the overhead and increase the profitability? And the reason you can't see where you're at is because if you don't have good accounting, you're blind. The numbers tell you, not the sweat. The numbers tell you whether it's really working or not. Am I helping anybody? I say, am I helping anybody? So you can be working really, really hard and going absolutely nowhere and can't figure out why. I'm gifted, I'm anointed, I fasted, I prayed, I worked long hours, I put in the sweat, I'm not seeing much return. The reason you're not seeing return is that they ate it. They ate your cookie. Write this down. Stop letting other people eat up your cookie. It's not deep, but you'll know what it means. If anybody steals your notes, they'll think you're talking about chocolate chips or sugar cookies or something like that. But ask yourself, how many people handled my materials before I got them? And how can I cut that out? So one trip to wherever you gotta go to get the manufacturer might save you in the long run much more money than letting her take the trip and then letting him open up the building and then you coming down to the fashion show to buy the dresses in Vegas, and the dress was made in Vietnam, and you don't understand that you think you're buying it wholesale, but you're paying 60% more than you ought to, and now you can't get a return on your profit because nobody's talking to you about this, and we're just shouting and going to heaven and going on with our Jesus just the same. And the Bible said the children of this world are wiser in their way than the children of light. There are a lot of people doing what Good Soil is doing. They're having events, and Good Soil is having a big event in Dallas in June for you to come and experience all the different ways you can get the financing and find out what you need to do to get on top. What is unique about Good Soil is we're not just having an event, but if you download the Good Soil app, you have somebody to hold your hand and answer your questions and walk you through the process. And we're getting ready to start doing a seat at the table where you can sit at a round table like this and type in questions and get answers. And by the way, somebody got happy off of that. I know, because you got some questions. By the way, if you're watching and you're online and you got questions, in a few minutes I'm going to open up for some questions and we're going to answer as many questions as we can. And so if you type it in, even if you're sitting in the room and you want to go on YouTube and type in a question, we're going to pick out and answer as many questions as we can. My brother Cassius, I'm going to go to you next. This seems like the natural progression. It's not everybody in here is not an entrepreneur, but everybody in here needs a house. Everybody in here needs a community. Everybody in here, no matter how anointed they are and how they pray and how they preach, they need to be able to go home at some point when the revival is over and have a safe place to stay. What can we do about it?
Yes, sir. There's a couple things, Bishop, and thank you for that question. The reality is that we all have the opportunity to make a difference in our lives. It is really at our fingertips. I was fortunate to serve in government. At that time, when I was at HUD in the Bush administration, we had this thing called housing counseling centers. Anyone ever heard of them? And if you haven't heard of them, have the opportunity to go to the housing counseling center. If you go to HUD.gov, click on the icon that says housing counseling. There, you can speak to a counselor to talk to you about if you are looking to have to leasing an apartment, that's fine. If you're looking to actually acquire a home, you go through the certification process. You can take that certification and use that toward qualifying for buying your first home. That enables you to be a first-time home buyer, and every state has funds available for you to be a first-time home buyer. Bishop, the other best thing is that even on the business side, fortunate when I served in the Obama administration to let people know about starting a business. And one thing about starting a business, you have to do one thing. You have to have a passion. What is your passion? Your passion is your purpose, and your purpose is your plan. Whatever you're passionate about, that's your purpose in life. You should build a plan around that. Whew. And so if anybody got that, raise your hand right quick. Okay.
Passion, purpose, plan. Come on.
You can take that, go to SBA.gov, click on Small Business Development Centers, SBDC. It will put you within a 25-mile radius for you to actually speak with a counselor about starting and growing your business. And this is the best part about it, Bishop. There's no cost.
Wow.
Or I like to say, U.S. taxpayers, you've already paid for this already. All right? You've already paid for it already. It sounds like what you talk about on Sundays, Bishop. Mm-hmm. It's been paid for you already. So go to SBA.gov, click on SBDC, and then take that same knowledge and come with Mike to Good Soil. So we could talk about you all becoming first-time home buyers and starting your own business. And actually, that's the time that we rejoice and we actually come together and say, this is how we learn together, Bishop.
So when we start taking advantage of opportunities like this, we can increase our ability to retire. And we don't have to walk, we don't have to work until we pass out in the floor and die. We can have multiple streams of income coming in from different directions.
Yes.
And you're not at the mercy of your job as you get older. And it is very, very important that you start working on this now, because what you, your 401k might be looking like a 201Q. Come on, talk to me, somebody. But just because your 401k isn't looking good doesn't mean you can't grow to the next level if you start strategizing. You listen, if you are dropping your handkerchief out of the window waiting on Prince Charming to come in on a horse and pick it up, I got news for you. Go down the steps and pick up your own handkerchief and come on, talk to me, somebody, and make a plan. So you can tell the difference between Prince Charming and Freddie the Frog, and you're not getting tied up with somebody because you have to, but because you want to. Am I talking good to somebody? So let's go deeper. Yeah. So when you start talking, and by the way, he didn't ask me to mention but Cassius has just written a book called Exceptional, Bring the Exception to the Rule. Bring the exception, being the exception to the rule. And I'm sure you can go on Amazon or somewhere and pick this up, and it's great information. You cannot lead if you do not read.
Yes.
You cannot lead if you stop scrolling down through Instagram for 3.5 hours and read something that's going to help you get a plan to your purpose and your passion. I notice you have worked with every type of leader across aisles. Why do you do that? It doesn't matter, Democrat, Republican, you work with everybody to further what you're trying to get done. Explain that to me.
I think it just was something really, really ordained in my family, Bishop. I really realized at a young age, if you follow your passion, you'll never become lost. That's just the bottom line. If you can have $1 million ideas and have $5 effort, all right? You got to put in $1 million of effort into that. And I said it to say, Bishop, I think we talked about it some time ago that in my book, Being the Exception to the Rule, I talk about 14 principles about following your passion, checking your ego before it checks you. You might know about that. Actually planting seeds and knowing when it's harvest time. These are basic principles that we know, but we're actually not putting in the work to do that. And I think if we can do that more and more on a consistent basis, you'll find yourself a lot further than you can even imagine. So at the end of the day, Bishop, I think for me, it's just really about following my passion. I'm fortunate to teach at Morehouse College Leadership and Development, and I learn from these students. I get to be hip and cool again.
Right, right. Right?
I learn, and these young men at Morehouse, they actually have these great ideas, and they sit and they talk, and they come up with these great ideas. So they're far more advanced than what we were when we were in school, when we went to trade school. What we have to do is pour time into them, to mentor them, to show them what leaders look like, be present, and on a consistent basis. And I think that's how we can continue to change the world, Bishop.
Thank you for that. Give God a praise. Tiffany, there has been so much drama in the world right now. There is no safe place to live. Either they're on fire, they're in earthquakes, they're in floods, they're underwater, they got murderers running through the woods, stealing our people's garages. This has been a stressful time. You have been leading us through disaster relief, and before you can get one disaster out, here comes another disaster, and they're calling from everywhere. What, when you say use me, Lord, it doesn't have to be the pulpit. It really doesn't have, there's nothing against the pulpit. I'm in the pulpit right now, but it doesn't have to be in the pulpit. Give us a quick rundown of what you do and why you do it and how it works.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bishop. First of all, I'd like to say that everyone in here is a change agent. And I love what you said, because ministry starts outside these four walls. And until you realize that ministry is outside these four walls, you won't realize that the changes that you can make in your community. So with United Megacare, yes, we are helping all over the world. We are right now in Africa. We're in India. We're in the Philippines. We're in the Caribbean. We're in Mexico. We have an imprint in Haiti. We have partnerships all over the world, and we continue to build these strong alliances. So when we say we're boots on the ground, we're boots on the ground. However, partnership is key in the work that we're getting ready to do. Right. And so when we create and build these partnerships, when we can't go to Maui, we make sure that we have a partnership that is there, that is going to take the seed that you're sowing in this ministry, and they're going to do the work for us. And so everybody already knows we're all over the world. We're in Africa. We're doing some amazing things. They love Bishop in Africa, but also charity starts at home. And that's what's really important. I get it all the time. People say, we know you're all over the world, but what are you doing right here? What are you doing in your local community? So it's about empowering our people here to let them know that we are trying to create the awareness. We're trying to educate you. We're trying to empower you in order to know the resources that you have in your community. There are people right now in this sanctuary that are suffering in silence because they don't know what's in their community that can help them get them out of the trouble that they're in. And so I always try and encourage people, know who's in your community. Know who's working for you. Know what resources that are readily available for you that can change the complete trajectory of your families and stuff. But you have to really be transparent, and you have to open up, and you have to ask for the help you need. And so that's what we're able to do with United Megacare. We create these opportunities for families that are in need. We work in impoverished communities, low-income communities, but we want to bring the awareness to those communities that we are trying to make sure that you are change agents so you can go out and do the work that we can't always get to.
Say amen, somebody. So In my Baptist voice, I'm starting to see a message appear. And it says passion, and it says purpose, and it says plan, and it says partnership. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. So if I got passion, and I got purpose, and I got plan, then I need to develop some partnerships. Knowing that I cannot do this by myself, I need to develop some partnerships. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I want to bring Natasha in, but let me take a question quickly from Melissa. Melissa wants to know, what is the first step once God has given you an idea for a business? I say research. I say research the business. The first step is to fill your head with all the knowledge you can about it. Will it work in this area? What is your competition in the area? How far you are from anybody else in the area? Research, 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 research. What do you say? You don't have to agree with me. What do you think the first step ought to be?
I think you ought to go work for someone else who does what you want to do.
That's a good answer, too. That's a really good answer, too. To work for someone else who's doing what you want to do is like going to a university and getting paid. That's a good one.
I think this is also a great idea, not to go into business by yourself. Someone mentioned earlier about having a partner to keep you accountable.
Yeah.
Get a partner to keep you accountable and making certain that you both are checking each other. That's the way that you can move ahead.
What do you say?
I'm just going to add that when you research that business, to look at the cap of that business, how big is it? How wide can you go? And so you want to realize maybe perhaps it might not be as big of an industry as you want to be in, and perhaps change your mind.
Okay. Dr. Natasha, when I came along, every time somebody came in the church and they were acting funny, it was a demon. If you were smoking cigarettes, you had a smoking demon. If you were drinking liquor, I see this alcoholic demon come out of it right now in the name of Jesus. I see you fornicating demon come out in Jesus' name. My question to you as a trained therapist and psychologist, are we spiritualizing mental health? This is National Suicide Prevention and Awareness Month. Millennials are dying, are committing suicide at millennials now at amazing rates, unlike any other generation in the history of this country. Men in their 40s and 50s are more likely to commit suicide than any other period. You should care about this, because I'm talking about your brother, and I'm talking about your husband, and I'm talking about your uncle, and I'm talking about people who are silently imploding. And we're not getting everything resolved by making little oily crosses on their forehead and laying hands on them and getting slain in the spirit. Help us to differentiate a spiritual problem from a mental health problem.
Thank you, Bishop. No pressure. So I like to say this. Let's first define what mental health is, because in the faith-based community, we really do not understand what mental health is. And everybody in here has mental health. You all do not have a mental illness, but you do have mental health, okay? And so let me break it down even further. Mental health is how you live, how you love, and how you laugh. That is mental health. How you live, how you love, how you laugh, how you show up in the world. That is mental health. And a lot of us, especially in Black and brown communities, church has been our foundation. So we come in church with our trauma, and we do not know how to distinguish between our trauma and our pain and the sensation and the exuberance we get in the spirit. And a lot of times, what you said, we don't talk about sex and money.
Mm-hmm.
Look at my counselors right there. They come talk about sex and money in these therapy sessions, because what you don't talk about causes pain and causes frustration. And we're a silent church when it comes to real issues. Everything that was talked about thus far tonight is mental health. Mm-hmm. Everything from where you live, how you access finances, how you start a business, mm-hmm. all that has to start with mental health. If you are not healthy, you can't grow anything. Mental health is the foundation. So everything that we're talking about starts with your mental health and how you perceive, because how you perceive something may not be the truth. We live, there's the idea. They're talking about the idea. Most of you live in the real. There's a gap. Counseling helps you bridge the ideal with the real.
Bring it on in, sis. Bring it on in.
You know I got
to
stand up.
I knew you had to get up.
Church has come a place where we placate and we're phony. When I come here, can we be honest? Because everybody can relate to what they're talking about. But you're only as healthy as your secrets. If you have secrets, you're not healthy. The church should not ostracize you because you're unhealthy. Because if I check, this is the hospital. So you should be able to come in here with your trauma. Okay? But this is the thing. You have to come decent and in order. We have a full-service counseling center. Right now, we service 33 states and 13 countries.
Wow.
And there's a waiting list. Okay? So, when we're talking about mental health and your spirituality, don't use your spirituality to cover up your mental health. We're not talking about your position in Christ. We're talking about your condition in Christ. And I can tell your condition is altered or broken by the way you respond in these services.
Right.
So when you draw more attention to yourself than to God, something is broken. When you compete with the person who has been anointed for that hour to give the word, and you interrupt that, something is broken. So don't be ashamed of your brokenness, because can I let you in on a little secret? We all broken. We all broken. God made us out the dust of the earth, so you're always gonna be dusty. You're always gonna be dusty. So don't be intimidated or shamed by your dustiness. Get help. Put some oil on it, okay? So I'm all for prayer.
and getting the little cross and coming up to this altar. But when you leave this altar,
come on, come on.
When you leave this altar, you have to do that work.
Yeah.
It's not about your prayer life. God hears you and he's answering you, but he might answer you in the form of a therapist. Where are my counselors? Stand up. Stand up. It might look like that. So I'm encouraging you to go get counseling, because if all your relationships are broken and it's always somebody else, you the common denominator.
No, go on with it. Go on, go on, go on, go on, go on. That last line deserves a Grammy. If all your relationships are broken and it's always somebody else's fault, the common denominator is you. That's a revelation. It's not ignorant. It's just sometimes it's hard to see that it's you. Because when brokenness is your normal, you don't think there's anything wrong. When you grew up in a dysfunctional family, dysfunction is your normal. And if you meet somebody that's functional, you will fight them into dysfunction to recreate your normal. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? And for some people, poverty is their normal. For some people, failure is their normal. There are people who will walk out of this session who desperately need this session, but they're not attracted to this session because they are using Christ to medicate their dysfunction. And right now, this isn't spiritual enough for them. And they'll say we're being carnal when we're being practical. Jesus was practical. He was practical. He was practical. He was practical. He went to sleep. People got on his nerves. He got away from the crowd. He got self-care. He saw practical problems. He gave people two fish and five loaves of bread. He fed them. He said, if your brother is naked, give him a coat, not a scripture. Jesus was practical. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Jesus was practical. Jesus was so practical that his first miracle wasn't a crisis. He turned water into wine so that the party could continue. If some of y'all would have been at the marriage of Cana, you would have told Jesus he was carnal because he turned water into, what you doing turning water into wine? I thought you was the Son of God. This ain't no real problem. If they ran out of wine, tell them to go home. But Jesus' mother said, whatsoever he commands you to do, do that. We're commanding you to do some things that's going to turn the dismal waters of your ordinary existence into the blissful wine of possibilities. Jesus didn't say, I come that you might have church. He said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So when she said live, work, and play, Jesus didn't come so you could beat the tambourine. Jesus came so you could have a belly laugh, so you could be happy, so that you could go to sleep at night, so that you could have peace of mind, so that you could dwell in peace and in safety. He came to lead you beside still waters and restore your soul. Are you listening at me? Make a noise if I'm talking to you tonight. As we come to, I want you to give it up for my panel tonight. I cannot tell you how much I thank you for your contribution and your support and the impact that you're having. You have no idea who you're rescuing tonight. Somebody is finding out, I have a ministry. I don't have to be able to sing to rescue people in crisis. Somebody's starting to think about their finances in a different light, and they're finding out it's okay to have facts with your faith. All of these people who write in faith checks, I'm just writing this by faith, glory to God, hallelujah. You better get you an accountant and get you a calculator or something, get you a pen. All these people who are starting to understand, I don't want to live in a neighborhood where my children are going to get shot. And whatever I have to do to have to it's my worst nightmare, and I love Ben Crump, but it's my worst nightmare to end up on TV with Ben Crump. I don't want to be on there. It's not that I don't like Ben. I don't want to be up there because somebody has killed one of my children. That's a club I don't want to join. And some of you are already in that club. We got to make changes. We got to dwell in safety. We, in order to dwell in safety, we got to have some resources. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Now bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm not going to hold you much longer. But I want you to breathe in for a minute and breathe out. And ask yourself, why does God have you here? Why did God put you in the room tonight? Yeah. Why does God have you here? What is down inside of you that God wanted to shake tonight, to stir tonight, to expose tonight? Is it a dream? Is it a business? Is it a ministry? Is it an outreach? Is it a partnership that you need to develop? Do you work in a place that you're not taking advantage of your passion? You've not thought about connecting your passion to your partnerships? Have you downloaded the Good Soil app, but you don't go in there and you don't know how to work it and you don't know what's going on in it? But you spend hours scrolling and you have needs? Can I go deeper? Are you happy? No, I didn't ask, do you get happy? I didn't ask, do you worship? I didn't ask, can you sing? Are you happy? And have you ever been in a place where it was safe to say, I'm not happy? Do you believe that it's possible that you could be happy? That you could be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath? That you could really be more than a conqueror? Then don't just come to these conferences and stay at these hotels and eat at these restaurants and not get better. Whether you want to evolve in your business or evolve in your mental health, or you just want to have peace of mind, whether you've been avoiding the hard stuff of admitting, you know, my prayer life is amazing, but my credit is whack. And you don't do anything about it. And you've been praying about it, wanting God to fix it. And maybe God brought you here and say, I'm going to fix it when you take action. I want to talk to not just women, because men, Lord, have mercy. Nobody's exempt from needing what we're talking about tonight. I want to close tonight out praying for people who realize that they need to get better. Whether it's better in business or better in their finances or better in their understanding of missions or better providing a better place for my kids to live or just getting better in my own head. My sister said, you are as sick as your secrets. That should have made everybody uncomfortable. Because truth be told, there's not a person in here that don't have no secrets. That's what's common amongst us. What sets us apart is, what are you gonna do about it? Maybe you're watching online. Why couldn't you click off? Other people clicked off because it wasn't spiritual enough for them. But you stayed on because something compelled you. There's a gift being stirred in you. It might be a business. It might be a ministry. is being stirred in you right now. Or maybe you're watching online and you're finally admitting to yourself, you know what, I'm busy. I'm busy as all get out, but I'm miserable too. And sometimes the drug I take for my miserableness is more busy. And I'm tired. I done wore myself out taking busy instead of better. And on the eve of woman evolved, my evolution starts tonight. Some of the best miracles in the Bible required that you do something. Lazarus had to come forth. He was in the wrong ground. He had to come out. The woman with the issue of blood had to crawl. Had she not crawled, she would have never got healed. The Syrophoenician woman had to come find Jesus and say, have mercy on me. Blind Bartimaeus had to scream. The little boy had to give him 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Every time you see a miracle, people had to do something, not just God. Tonight, God is asking, what are you willing to do to get to better? While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if the Holy Spirit is talking to you about some area of your life that you need to get to better, it could be credit, it could be a crisis, it could be trauma, it could be some kind of way that you've been faking the funk and just not dealing with the stuff. Get up, get out of your comfort zone, come down to this altar, and let's pray that you get a life-changing experience over the next few days. You came too far, you invested too much. Your hotel room cost too much. You don't have time to be cute. You want a real change. You could have had church on TV. You could have plugged up online and got your laptop and had church. You didn't come to have church, you came to have change. Come on, talk to me, somebody. You didn't come to have church, you came to have change. Do you not know that if you start looking at your life, you can change it? Whether it's looking at the numbers and getting your numbers together, you can't fix what you don't know. You don't even know where you're at. You're busy, but you don't know where you're at. An accountant shows you where you're at. I look at my numbers every day about everything. I get weekly reports and quarterly reports from all of my businesses. Sometimes I like the report, sometimes I don't like the report. Sometimes I speak in tongues over the report, but I see it. Because it can't get better if I don't face it. I'm tired, y'all. I'm 66 years old. I love you, but I don't need to just have church for church's sake. Can I confess to you? I like beaches. I like ocean. I like picking sand out of my beard. Yeah, I want a beard full of sand. I don't want to just have church to have church. I want to have change. I want to have real change. And since you cared enough to come so far and invest so much, I don't want you to just have a good time. I want you to have a good change. I want you to start thinking about a plan to make a move. Whether you're a first-time homeowner and able to beat the interest rates that are available because you're a first-time homeowner, and instead of buying a single-family dwelling place, maybe you get a duplex or a quadplex and let them pay the rent and you collect the money and now you got your job and your rent, whether it's something as simple as that, or whether you need to franchise what's working. Or whether you need to partner with somebody who is showing what you do with great music behind it because you're good at doing it, but you don't know how to market it. Yeah. or whether you just need to be able to sleep tonight. Because you can't do none of this stuff if you can't sleep. I want to pray for people who are going to take action. You're online, I want you to take action. You're an entrepreneur, I want you to download the app and start going through it. And I want you to start, don't just download the app and take other people's advice. Get the curriculum. It's already laid out for you. Get the curriculum. I'm not trying to take you back to college. This is simple curriculum, easy. What he didn't tell you, we gave out $250,000 last year to small businesses. It's going to be more. He says it's going to be more this year. If you take the curriculum, we'll invest in you. But I'm not investing in people that don't invest in themselves. I'm not going to invest in your dysfunction. You got to do the work. I believe God brought you here for change. You're watching online, God brought you here for change. And we're not going to leave this place until we begin the evolution of becoming what God has caused us to be. And we're going to talk about it in the restaurant. We're going to talk about it in the car. And we're going to talk about it in the store. And we're going to talk about it to the butcher and the baker and the candlestick maker and the maid and everybody else. We're going to tell them, when I get back home, I'm going to change everything. I'm moving this around. I'm reducing my overhead. I'm lowering my costs. I'm changing my bling. I'm tired of looking rich. I'm going to walk into the blessing of the Lord. I'm going to teach my daughter how to handle her finances so she never goes through what I went through. I'm going to teach my son how to handle his business. I'm going to start investing in their education because I get a tax exemption for investing in their education. I don't care that he's 6 months old. If the government don't care, I don't either. I'm going to take advantage of all the available accoutrements that are available to me if I just read. Gosh, I didn't know that. I'm giving Uncle Sam back money I don't have to give him. I can start investing in my grandkids who's 2 years old and not pay it in taxes and claim it as a deduction and walk away with capital. So no matter what the Supreme Court says, I can send my kids wherever I want to send them. Am I talking good to you? Yes. My mother never talked to us, goo-goo, ga-ga, oh boy, oh, you so cute, you're a little dumpling. She talked to us like grown people. She talked to us about real stuff. I had a passbook savings account from Kanawha Valley Bank when I was 7 years old. That's what I got for Christmas. Everybody else got a bike. I got a passbook savings account. Couldn't ride it, couldn't show it off, but it paid off. This is disruptive thinking. This is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about disruptive thinking. I don't want to just make you shout. I want to give you something to shout about. I love you too. Thank you for loving me. I love you right back, girl. I do. Yeah, see, this is what ministry is all about. Ministry takes on many forms. And whether you know it or not, these folk ministered to you tonight. Thank you for your ministry. Now, when you're up under arrest, the first thing they have you do is hold up your hands. The Holy Spirit has arrested us tonight. There's something that needs to change. I'm up under arrest. I'm changing my position. I'm changing my posture. I'm changing my partnership. I'm recognizing my passion. I'm going to put together a plan. I got a phone. The app is free. I can get in good soil. All I got to do is download the app. And if I'm blessed, I can take the curriculum. I can invest in myself. I'm through asking people to invest in me, and I haven't invested in myself. You mean that little investment in taking those courses is going to make me smarter and eligible to receive grants while my credit is jacked? Until I get it straightened out, I'm in. Let's pray. Father, I don't know, because I cannot see hearts. I see faces, I see suits and dresses and pants and stuff, but I don't see hearts. I don't know who came here fighting off suicide. I don't know who is fighting off depression. I don't know who is self-medicating in affairs or drugs or work or even church. I don't know. I don't know who the entrepreneur is in this room that you have ordained to own chains of hotels, to build hospitals, to own firms and companies and have employees and be the head and not the tail. I don't know who in this room has gone through a troubled childhood so that they could have a great adulthood. But he's in here. She's in here. She's watching online. I know that nothing's going to happen if I don't change. So I'm coming out with my hands up. I'm coming up with my hands up. You got my attention. You're talking my language. I'm not used to coming to a church that talks like this, but you got my attention. There's some things I need to work on, and they're working on areas that I don't normally confront. Today I confront it.